There's got even a big accent in Portuguese than I have in English.
When he comes here, I mean, he's Sven Göransson is maybe sort of almost caricatured and lampooned by the British media. Is he as quiet and sort of, I don't know, wishy-washy as he sort of comes
across? Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He is a quiet man.
Yes, he's exactly as you see him on the television. He's exactly the same.
But he's not a wishy-washy.
Very gently, nice to everybody. And he's super guy.
Lino, can you ask Lino what I should be eating at my football party tomorrow? What should I be putting on for my Portuguese guests?
Sardines.
Oh, yeah, I love sardines. Okay.
You haven't been to Portugal. You have to go because they will make you so welcome. It's a lovely country, only for the holiday.
Yeah, my neighbour's Portuguese. We spoke to her earlier, but we have sardines at her house and I really enjoy them. Lino, have a really good day tomorrow. Sounds like a fun place to be. And I must pop
Thank
round.
You, love.
See you soon, anyway.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for giving me this opportunity.
No, don't be silly. And welcome to British citizenship. And Russell, we'll speak
thank
to you.
Thank you very much
thank
indeed.
Thank you. Congratulations.
And I love our country.
Oh.
I can say that now.
Oh, obrigada.
Muito prazer. Muito prazer. Adeus, amiga.
Okay, you've lost me now. Russell, we'll talk to you later. Russell Jocelyn
on
the
prowl. Run with Figo the dog.
Yeah, on the prowl in South Warwickshire looking for all things Portuguese. Now, we're going to be linking up with Baden Baden soon. Our reporter Grant Coleman is in the German town where England, the team, has made its camp. And we'll be finding out what's going on there today. Buzz ahead of that, Simon Masters in the BBC Coventry and Warwickshire Travel Centre. Simon.
Thanks, Liz. M6 is looking slow at the moment. Junction 4 at the M42 to Junction 6 at Spaghetti Junction is looking slow. The rest of the motorways, though, seem to have eased off. It's certainly looking a lot healthier on the M42. Expect some extra traffic on the M42 as you head towards the NEC, though. So we've got an event taking place today. Gates open in just under 20 minutes' time, 9 till 6 this evening, and that's going to be ongoing throughout the weekend. Through Coventry, beginning to look slow on the Holyhead Road inbound towards the Ring Road and Warwick Road towards the Ring Road as well. So both inbound routes looking slow there. A45, A46 and the A444. Not as busy as the last couple of days, but still looking quite slow as a result of roadworks around the Festival, Whitley and Tolbar Islands. Anything you spot, call us on 08000 725 200. Keeping you ahead of the rest, this is Simon Masters in the BBC Coventry and Warwickshire Travel Centre.
Thanks a lot, Simon. And now the weather again. Very dry, plenty of sunshine, 26 Celsius, 79 Fahrenheit. A dry night. Saturday, temperatures around 27, 29, the further south you go, like Rugby. And then Sunday, 31, 32 degrees everywhere. BBC Coventry and Warwickshire. Well, I'm joined in the studio by two German guests, and we'll just quickly say hello to them. Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen.
That's the extent of my German. We'll come back to you in a minute. People will be intrigued now. Entertaining Germans at this time. Let's go over now to Germany and Baden-Baden and our reporter Grant Coleman. Morning, Grant.
And the morning, Liz.
Did you like my German there?
That's very good. It's better than mine. I keep forgetting Guten Morgen.
Do you? What do you say to people then?
Guten Tag all the time.
Oh, that's not offensive, you know, at this time.
That's
of
good day, I think.
Oh, it's all right then. By the way, what does Baden-Baden mean? Does it mean bath?
Do you know, I have no idea.
I think it does, you know.
You've been here, you know.
I've been there and I've taken the waters. I think Baden-Baden is so good they named it twice. I think it means I'll ask one of our doctors in the studio. Dr. Martin Wiegel and Professor Wulfard Janker, what does Baden-Baden mean?
Exactly what you said, essentially. Yes. It's a spa,
bath.
A spa place.
It's another goal for this Kershaw. Right then, how's it looking this morning for the team? Have they left yet for Gelsenkirchen?
No, they haven't. They're going to depart at 10 o'clock your time this morning. They're going to Baden-Baden Airport, literally about a 20-minute drive from their hotel up in the hills here. And then they're catching a chartered plane to Dusseldorf, and then the coach will take them the remainder of the way to Gelsenkirchen. They have a training session at 3 o'clock your time this afternoon in the stadium itself. And our big question is, will Frank Lampard be part of that training session? We understand he's picked up a slight ankle injury overnight. He'll have a test on that. Then we'll have to wait and see whether he's going to take part to see how serious it is.
Now, let's look at the past clashes between Portugal and England. How's our record, Grant?
Well, the FA try and tell you it's good, but it's not, to be honest. England haven't beaten Portugal for 40 years in a competitive international, but last time they did so was the 1966 World Cup semi-final.
Ooh, omen, eh?
Spooky, eh?
What was the score, do you know?
It was 2-1 then, yeah.
Right, okay.
It was Eusebio's Portugal, and it was their first ever appearance in the finals, and everyone thought this is going to be a really strong force. They've only been in the finals now 4 times, so they never have lived up to that tournament where they actually finished third in the end. In the 5 competitive internationals since 1966 between the two countries, Portugal have won 2, and there have been 3 draws, which includes, of course, the last meeting, the quarterfinals of Euro 2004, 2-2 draw, but of course seen as a defeat because England then lost the deciding penalty shootout 6-5.
Well, you're full of good cheer. We have to lose you now, but we have to say that Sven, again, little bit of knowledge of the team, used to manage Benfica. Will it do us any good?
No.
No. Thanks, Grant. Cheers, well, hopefully you'll still be there Monday. We'll speak to you then.
Whatever happens. Even if it's waving the team goodbye, I'll speak to you on Monday.
All right, speak to you then. Let's hope it's to tell us what the next fixture is. Grant Coleman in Baden-Baden. Right, well, let's welcome to the studio once again our German guest this morning, Dr. Martin Wiegel and Professor Wulfhard Janke. I don't know which is which. Who's Martin?
That's
hello, good morning, Martin. Good morning. Wulfhard.
Good morning.
Right, you are mathematicians and you've come up with a formula to predict, calculate what happens in the World Cup. Is that correct?
That's almost correct.
Well, you tell me properly.
So we looked at the distribution of the goals in different leagues and then we tried to explain this distribution, how many goals are scored per game. And for this, we developed a very simple model, which is mainly based on a so-called motivation factor. And this motivation factor tells us that if a team has scored, then they are much more likely to score the next goal.
So in the case of the France-Spain match the other night, it ended, it was 1-0 to Spain. France equalised just before half-time, so they left the pitch with that extra motivation and then went on to score 2 further goals. Is that, are you saying that it would have had a different outcome if they hadn't got that 1 goal before half-time?
Yeah, possibly, but what we're doing are statistical analyses, so it's not necessarily prediction for a single match, unfortunately. It's more like an average over many, many matches.
But I thought you were saying, from your figures, your interpretation was that the goals are kind of cumulative. Once you've got one, then you go on to score more because of that motivation. Is that right?
That's right on the average, as Martin said. So we have to average over many games of a league and then we can see a trend in the leagues.
Right, okay, I've got a question for you. I'm not a mathematician, but I do know that variables are important in mathematics. And you could have a team that's 11 players and then the next time it's 11 totally different players. Even if you've got the same brand, Mönchengladbach, Manchester United, whatever, there is all these human variables. Doesn't that make your job impossible? Or do you factor that in?
No, we don't factor that in. But because we are only making some rough modelling of the whole system, it's still okay on average.
Right.
Of course, that's what we are stressing. So you can't predict for tomorrow's game what will be the outcome based on this model. You can only say if there will be 100 games, what will happen on average.
It's a report.
Unfortunately, I mean, it would be much nicer to be able to tell what's the outcome
yeah,
of
rich,
tomorrow's
man.
Game or today's game.
But it's like our reporter was saying, you know, England haven't beaten Portugal for 40 years, but that team of 40 years ago are totally different people
exactly,
to the team now, or even 4 years ago in the World Cup. I mean, it's not really scientifically accurate, is it?
That's true. I mean, for a single game, we cannot really predict anything. So
what use can you make of this work that you've done then? How can you interpret it and apply it?
Well, the main interpretation is when we compare different leagues. So we compared, for example, the West German Football League with the East German Football League. And this consists of about 8,000 games each. And then we can extract this motivation factor. And one of the results was that this is higher for the East German League than for the West German League.
So they're better footballers?
Well, we are not so sure. Our interpretation is more that the West German League is much more professional, or was much more professional. And so once they were leading, they tried to secure
defensive. Their win, yeah. Right, okay. That's a different kind of tactic altogether.
Exactly, yeah.
So what's this German team like this year then? It's an amalgamation there. The countries have merged. Is that better for German football, would you say? Or is it a worse side for it? Or
it's probably better. I mean, for example, this player Ballack, he is an East German. So, I mean, of course, it's better for
him. Okay. Well, what are your predictions then for Germany's next match?
Well, Germany will, independent of any models.
And the score? and the score, completely emotional and nothing mathematical.
Let's say 2-1.
Yes, okay. Something like 2-1 or 1-0. It will be very tight, and I'm pretty sure it will be over, not over 90, but over 120 minutes.
Would you like to see Germany and England in the final? Somebody said this morning, one of our listeners, they'd like that.
Of course, that would be one of the perfect final games, sure.
And who would win?
Oh, well.
They're trying to be scientists now, not anymore. Before you go, what are you doing in Coventry? You've come to talk about your model, have you?
Yes, that's one of the reasons. There's a nice little workshop being organised by Ralph Kenner at the physics department of Warwick, or mathematics department, actually.
It's big math department. It's fantastic new building. Have you been in the new building with
all
the art
and
everything
perfect,
else?
Yeah. Have, yeah.
Fantastic place to study maths. Well, enjoy your visit. When do you return to Germany?
On Sunday morning, I return.
Okay. Well, let's hope you have a big party on Saturday. Well, on Saturday night, who will you support?
Well, on Saturday night, of course.
Be careful.
Afternoon, we support the English. That's true.
Okay. Yes, else your host might not be too happy. Thank you very much for coming into the studio, Dr. Martin Wiegel and Professor Wulfhard Janker, and enjoy your visit to the University of Warwick. And, let's hope we see you in the final.
This Friday, Warwickshire face Gloucestershire in the 2020 Cup. You'll get ball-by-ball coverage here on BBC Coventry and Warwickshire and on our website. Hear it live at bbc.co.uk/Coventry from 5:30. And here on BBC Coventry and Warwickshire from 6 o'clock this evening.
On FM 94.8 and at bbc.co.uk/Coventry. BBC Coventry and Warwickshire.
Well, we've got Mark in the radio car now. His quest was to secure some of the magic juice that the England team will be relying on. Are you there, Mark?
I am, yeah. I've got some pomegranate, it's called. Very clever pun. It's a pomegranate juice drink. They've blended the finest quality pomegranates with fruit extract to bring us a refreshing drink enriched with essential vitamins. It's simply delicious. I've pulled over because I haven't been able to get back yet.
Don't open
it. The traffic's rubbish. I haven't,
okay.
But I'm just telling you about it.
All right.
I won't open it until I get there. It's not chilled because it's quite warm out. But it looks delicious.
How much?
£1.39. It's
not
quite expensive.
Cheap. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, you'll be pleased to know, but by the time you reach us with the pomegranate juice, which is what David Beckham and the lads have demanded. As a drink, pitch